We have reached the final three meditations in this series. Almost everybody who started is now gone. There are about 30 or 40 of you still doing this, and I'm very glad that you're still with me. I hope you will remain with me over these three meditations. These meditations, these three in particular, are unlike anything that has been done before. As you know, these meditations run in three groups of three: a positive side, a negative side, and a balancing side in each case. Because the techniques involved in the type of meditation that we're going to do this time are expressed first in the balancing side, we will begin with that side of the meditation. The positive side of the meditation involves meditating with the souls of the living. The negative or shadow side of it involves meditating with the souls of the dead. In this work, we're beyond the level of thinking that the dark side is evil and the light side is good. The light side brings understanding. The dark side brings knowledge. The knowledge is in the dark. The light of understanding illuminates it. This is not, does not mean by any means that what is in the dark is somehow evil, although people are often quite afraid of knowledge. It's extremely important to understand this, or it's not possible to do this work. Objective work with negative and positive energies is essential to real transformation. Without it, there cannot be real transformation. Cleaving always to what we call good, that particular illusion, or evil, that one, doesn't really count for anything, for nothing. What does count for something is the careful and objective balancing of light and dark. That's what this work is truly about. I was dismayed, I guess would be the best thing to say, about something I saw on my message boards a few weeks ago, someone describing their meditation and then saying, and then I waited and nothing happened. They had done one of these meditations, I don't know which one. And I must say that that's also not what this is about. This isn't about doing a task and getting a reward. We're not little dogs being trained. We are human beings at the edge of consciousness, of objective consciousness, I should say, learning. These are two very, very different things, obviously. So don't expect that to do these meditations, then wait for a little while and have something happen. The point is not the outcome of the work. It is the work itself. It is the process of returning again and again and again during the act of meditation. This is what it's about. It is about living in the body in a new way, in a larger, more objective, and more full way. This is what it's about. It is not about meditating and then having a fancy experience of some sort. Although, if you are involved with the work with the visitors, which some of you are, you know very well that they do demand very high levels of meditation on our part in order to work with them successfully. And I'm not going to go into it because there's no point in it, but obviously that's where these meditations come from, that they're not here on this earth, these meditations that we're going to be describing this time. They don't happen among human beings yet, and they will now only among a very few of us, and then time will pass and it'll all be forgotten. But what will not be forgotten is the vibration that we lay down with these meditations, and this is the extraordinary thing about doing this. It never ends. Nothing is ever lost. Now, you will see coming up on Unknown Country in the Quick Watch section soon some new information about what is going to be happening to this planet over the next few years, information that is difficult. And it means that there is always a possibility that one or another of us will be end up in a situation where life cannot proceed, because who knows, we're in a storm or something like that, and that may happen. And okay, it may or may not, we don't know. However, I think it is very important to talk a little bit at this point about the reason that examination of conscience is so valuable. There is in the Egyptian tradition the idea that the soul must be extremely light in order to ascend, and lightness comes from not having entanglements with the world. This is why it is important to reconcile ourselves to our failures. This is what examination of conscience is about. When we say examination of conscience, I don't mean looking down some list of sins. Whatever the Catholics used to say, I took the Lord's name in vain 3 times this week, Father, or something like that. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about discovering within ourselves the places where we denied the right to thrive to ourselves and to others. Looking carefully into your life, into your memories, and finding each of these places, and finding in your heart real forgiveness for yourself and for others. You do not have to go to them and forgive them, obviously, if they're dead, or you can't approach them for whatever reason, but you can forgive in your heart. And why do we forgive? We forgive for ourselves. You forgive for yourself to make yourself lighter so that you're not burdened by these enmities and angers. Anger weighs a lot. Okay, let's go on to this first of the last group of 3 meditations. In this one, we're going to be meditating out of the body. And we've spoken before in these meditations, and I've certainly spoken about this elsewhere, the importance of using the imagination. Imagination is a tool. Don't dismiss it as, oh, well, that was just his imagination, that was just her imagination. This amazing tool can take you to other worlds, parallel universes, higher levels of reality, can travel you and move you through time, into the future, into the past, out of time altogether. It is an extraordinary tool, and we're going to be using it in a disciplined manner in this meditation. Now let's start where we always start, with the physical body that we can easily sense with our existing nervous system. This is our anchor. This is what we have, the foundation stone upon which the whole palace of being is constructed. So we start by going to our physical body. I go to my left foot. I sense it. I actually take my attention and I place it on the sensation of my left foot. Then my left lower leg up to the knee. And then my left foot and lower leg. Right upper leg. Left upper leg. Whole left leg. Right foot. Right lower leg. Right lower leg and foot. Right upper leg. Whole right leg. Now I sense both legs together. And now I leave it and I sense my left hand. And I do the same with my hands and arms. carefully sensing my lower arm, upper arm, and whole arm and hand. Then the right hand, lower arm, upper arm, the whole right arm. Now both arms together. Now I include the legs. I'm sensing both legs and both arms together. Now I go down to my coccyx. And I take my sensation up my back. There are fewer nerve endings, so it's more difficult. But I'm careful with my attention. I put my attention on my spine as I move my attention up my back, into my neck, into my head, and around into my face. So now I sense my whole head and face. Now I go down into my throat and chest, and down deep into my solar plexus, and then into my body where I have a little bit of sensation, but not much, and I concentrate that sensation at my center of gravity. More and more, I don't sense it directly. I can't, because there are no nerve endings there that do that. I can, however, imagine I am sensing it. Imagine that I am sensing there. And I take this imaginary sensation, and I move it out into my flesh, into my skin, where I have vivid senses, vivid nerve endings. And now my sensation is no longer imaginary. It's real. I'm sensing my body inside and out, from the depth of my imagination to the lightness of my skin. I am sensing my body inside and out. Inside is the knowledge, the organs that tell the body what to do, the organs that know how to live life. Outside is understanding, books that the mind can read about the dark inside. This is how these triads work, and the balance is a balanced, healthy life, the balance between the inner and the outer in this case. This is how these meditations also work. So now I'm going to sense my whole body. And I'm going to take that sensation out a little bit beyond the limits of my body. And if I can't do this, in fact, then I'm going to imagine that I'm doing it. I'm not going to take my second body away from my first body. But rather, I'm going to meditate out of my body by expanding my second body. That is to say, the body that exists past the nerve endings, the ends of the nerves. These nerves actually don't end at all, because they go into a state, the electrons in them go into a state of superposition when they are outside the skin, hanging micrometers above the surface of the body. And I let that happen. If you see visions or anything comes into your head, just let it happen. Let it happen. It doesn't matter. It's because you're going into this state of superposition. And when your nervous system is in this state, it's everywhere. It's throughout all time. It is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It is all and everything. Yes, that's right, you. And you say to yourself, well, nothing's happening to me. I don't feel any different. But your soul does, my friend. Your soul feels very different. Part of you is feeding on this and is feeding in eternal being. Believe me, mark my words, there will come a time when you know this for certain, although you can't know it for certain now. So I go to my body. You notice how we keep coming back, flowing in and out. And I take you away, I distract your mind. Then we come back to the body. This process of coming back after being distracted is the work. This is the strengthening that we're looking for. This is what we are doing. This is the meditation. So we come back. And now things have changed. The second body is bigger. We're going to let it get very, very much bigger. We're going to feel the second body as it ceases to be simply me and becomes linked to the bodies of many others and linked to the body of the earth itself. And suddenly all of the animals, many, many more of whom are conscious than are intelligent. It does not take intelligence to be self-aware. Even grass has some consciousness, and it can be acute consciousness, very acute. All animals have consciousness. Many of them are deeply conscious. Some of them are more conscious than we are. But they don't have knowledge. Why don't they have knowledge? For a simple reason. They don't have hands. Hands manipulate. Manipulation discovers. This is why we have knowledge, why we are three-brained instead of two-brained. We have an enlightening brain, we have a knowing brain, and we have a feeling brain. Many different ways of looking at it. So now I come back again to my body. And this time my body is even larger. I'm aware of the fact that my second body is extended far beyond the edges of my flesh. In fact, it's extended farther than I've ever noticed before. My nerve endings don't end at the ends of my flesh at all. My nerve endings go beyond and far beyond. Space and time and distance don't matter to my body. My body is everywhere, and it has always been everywhere. I just didn't notice it before. And so I let that be. I let myself be everywhere. It's all right to be me and to be everywhere. Across all of space and time, it's all right. Let yourself be for a while. We'll take some silence, about half a minute, 45 seconds. Sense your body. Your enormous body. Don't strain. If you feel nothing unusual, imagine that you do. Now we come back. You come back to my voice and therefore also back to your mind, which is an excellent place to be. Back to the mind. It's possible to feel the link to the earth, especially because the earth is very much alive. Very much alive. It is a living, immeasurably old, immensely complex being, and it knows we are here. Don't think otherwise. The illusion of science that biology is an extension of something that is somehow strangely inanimate, except for us, is just that, an illusion. When you look into the eyes of a raccoon or a dog or an insect, somebody looks back. They may not even have a name. They may not even have that much knowledge. But they know I am. As indeed you know I am. And so we let this breath continue. do you notice it's been a process of breathing in and out of the mind? And when you do this work alone, this is what will happen. You will go into your mind. You will think. You will remember. You will imagine. You will hope. You will consider the cares of the day and the injustices done you. And then you'll over-remember, wait a minute, I'm meditating. And you'll go back to your body, always to that anchor, the body. And now your body is even larger. Because while we were thinking, our body was acting. And it was going farther back in time, farther forward in time, and out among all of the stars, and to other universes beyond. It was going into the minds of the visitors. It was going into the consciousness of anyone who takes an interest in this, anywhere in the universe. You were going there. You ever wonder why SETI doesn't ever hear anything on the radio band? Well, you're getting a little bit of an idea about it now. Because if you do this persistently, you will find there is an entirely different choir singing, and nobody needs a radio. So feel it. Feel your body, your anchor. And now it's back to where it was again. It's no longer bigger. I'm bringing my sensation back to my physical body, to the body I know every day. And yet, everything has changed. Everything has changed because my consciousness has entered the world. I know that some of you find these meditations immensely energizing, as I do. I know also that they are enigmatic and difficult and new, because they are something that hasn't been done here before. And so since we're the first, there's a lot of sort of inner and outer resistance. It's not like riding a bicycle when people first started to ride bicycles. It was very, very difficult. But now, when a child gets on a bicycle for the first time, he's riding in a few minutes because we've learned how to do that. And learning how to do these meditations that involve extending the borders of the body and then forgetting the borders of the body is something new for us. Also, this last group of meditations will not have any imagery associated with it. It will not have any crop circle imagery. And the reason is this. You will find now that the crop circle imagery is alive. It is intensely alive. This imagery, these field symbols, are living things. They are conscious of you. And you, if you look through the crop circle calendars or the crop circle websites, whatever you may, Lucy Pringle's got a lovely website, Crop Circle Connector, many others. The ones that you want to work with now will find you. You don't need me to find them for you anymore. You will find them. They will find you. But do work. Do find an image. An image will come to you for each of these meditations, these last three. And work with it. Use it. As you become aware of the form, the form will become aware of you, because it is a shadow of a hyper-dimensional existence, of something that is beyond our level of consciousness and knowledge and understanding. It is beyond us, and this is why a transitory formation in a field, then captured by a camera, still lives. And especially when you bring it into your own mind and body and heart, it lives very much, and it is very, very new.